This week's Hot Spurs podcast is dedicated to all those in the armed forces serving overseas, particularly those with Afghan Spurs and the RAF Spurs. Come on, you Spurs.
Nice one, Tom.
Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Thursday, the 13th of February, 2014. I am Steve, I'm in Leon C, and we haven't got Colin tonight, unfortunately. He's got a meeting, he's a very important man. And so we've got a brilliant replacement. It is Andrew SD, ASD, from the fantastic Tottenham football fancast, the Hossam Ghali of Spurs shows. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I've been wanting to use that for a few weeks now. I thought of it the other day, and I thought, perfect for you. No, brilliant.
It's my third show is my hat trick. I get to keep the ball after this one. We all get to sign in. I get to keep the ball.
That's right. Me and Colin will do your sign ball. Martin Heiser, Jason McGovern. Dan Jones, Tom Cousins now, I think he's on board with us as well. So, the poet, of course. Yeah. We will sign a ball and get it off to you. Probably be an apple. all right, mate. So, listen, that's enough with the jokes and the humour. We're a football podcast and that's what we like to talk about. So, obviously, let's go back to Everton. Pretty naff first half. You know, it's all been said. Let's try and say a couple of different things. For a start, Adebayor, absolutely fantastic. I know I watched the Soccer Gillette thing last night, and Paul Merson, in his wisdom, said that he gave him 3 out of 10 until he scored. And Paul Jewell, was it, gave him 4 out of 10 until he scored. Well, sorry, they must have been watching another game, because he was everywhere once again. For me, man of the match. And, he's been fantastic for us the last few games. Can't say enough about him. And what a goal. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, were you there?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you'll know it just as well as I do. The thing with Adebayor is he does so much when you can't see him on the screen.
Off
camera. And that's the thing that people don't really realise. He just runs. He does run his little socks off. He's all over the place. And he's constantly making space for him and for other people. And that's what people don't realise. And he scored. You know, he had one chance and he took it. You know, Everton, everything was on how many chances Everton had and how they should have scored, but they didn't. He had one brilliant chance, which he made practically by himself, and he was brilliant. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Adebayor.
I mean, other people are saying that he goes wide too much, and he does. You know, and it's like, well, is he lazy or not? If he's going wide, if he's coming deep, and they're saying, he should stay in the middle up front. Well, you know. Oh, yes, okay, so if he stays up front in the middle, like Soldado's been doing, or like Jermaine Defoe's been doing, then obviously, you know, that's lazy, isn't it? That's what we're saying about him. But he's not doing that. He's getting left, he's getting right, he's creating opportunities for other people, he's linking the play. And, you know, people are saying, enjoy it while it lasts and that sort of stuff. Well, thanks, I will enjoy it while it lasts. You know, not all great players enjoy it while it lasts. How long Suarez going to keep going for? How long Sturridge going to keep going for? You know, players do dip in and out of form, and at the moment, Adebayor is playing great.
Well, I mean, you look at one of the greatest strikers to ever grace the Premier League, Thierry Henry, and I remember that someone in an interview said to him, they said, well, you know, what, you don't do as much running, you don't do as much defensive work, and he said, well, my job is to score goals. I'm practically resting when I'm not running around, and I'm there to I've got all my energy and I can sprint at full speed when the chance comes to me. So they can't have it both ways. They can't say he runs about everywhere and he's having a good game, or he's not doing anything. Adebayor is doing a great job for us. I mean, he scored 8-11 games. You can't argue with that. You know, it's working. So whatever he's doing, it's working. So they just need to stop criticising. He'll never be Suarez. He'll never be Aguero. And he does keep moving. And as you say, if we're playing one up top, he can't stay in the middle because there's two defenders around him. And it's so easy to defend against one person who stays in the middle all the time, which is why Defoe isn't starting, which is why Defoe's leaving. And I've got no problems with Adebayor starting at the moment. He's strong, he's tall. Because what I didn't like about him last year is I didn't feel like he had a shot on him. But that goal he scored against Everton showed he could be accurate with his wrong foot. He's got a shot on him. And I feel like we're beginning to see the best possibly the best we've ever seen from him, because we saw it was good when he was on loan, but now I feel like we're really getting value out of him. I'm appreciating what he's doing at the moment, and I feel like the fans are turning to him. I haven't heard any, and because you know where I sit in the South Lower, and every time we saw him when we had him on loan, there would be anti-Adebayor songs, like the really filthy songs, but I haven't heard any of those this year. And he deserves it, but no one deserves those songs in the first place, but the crowd are really behind him, and he's working really hard for us, and he's scoring.
I mean, that's absolutely right. Another podcast said that 1,000% we should be playing Soldado. I mean, you know, talk about, not having a clue what's been happening this season. Soldado, I'm sure he will come good, as all Spurs are saying. But at the moment, I mean, there's no way you can play him. I mean, we come on to the Newcastle game in a minute because it was a great, great touch by Soldado in the build-up to, I think, Chadley's goal. You know, and he's definitely got a place in the squad, and even up against Adebayor. But, you know, if you're playing one lone striker, it's Adebayor by a million miles. And the other thing I know, Spurs fans obviously talk about, we may have mentioned this before about him playing for Arsenal, but don't forget, he left Arsenal. And I was having this conversation, I think, with Tom Cousins at the weekend, was saying the fact that he left Arsenal because he, the people are saying, there must be a reason why Wenger let him go. Well, no, Wenger didn't let him go. Man City bought him for an awful lot of money, and he wanted to leave Arsenal and go and win things at Man City. That's why he left. Wenger didn't let him go. Let's get it right. He wanted to leave. You know, it's difficult when it's different when we bought Bentley, because Bentley was an Arsenal reject. And I think that we shouldn't buy Arsenal rejects in any way, shape or form. But if you've got a player that wanted to leave, like in a couple of years, if Nasri fancies joining the Spurs, then no problem, because he wanted to leave Arsenal. And Van Persie, he wanted to leave Arsenal, so he can come and play for us as well. Anyone that wants to leave Arsenal is welcome to play for Spurs. That's my opinion anyway. But listen, so it's a pretty dull first half. We didn't play very well at all. We've seen it many, many, many times at Spurs, so I don't know why people bang on about the fact that, it was such a poor first half. I can't remember too many first halves in the last 25 years that we've played well in the first half. Once again,
Newcastle at home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we go back a couple of years, aren't we? And apart from that, first half is normally complete dross, which is why, it's even worse when you go down and try and get a hot dog to cheer yourself up and you have to queue for ages and you've missed the first 5 minutes of the second half. In the second half we came out, we were much, much better. It still wasn't great, and settled by a fantastic strike and, beating Everton at home. Hopefully, like people do with our performances, they forget the performance and they just worry about the result. And in a few months' time, we'll all be talking about the 1-0 against Everton, who, we're competitive against this year. It's a terrific result. Final thoughts on that game, Andy?
Hugo, absolutely fantastic. I mean, he's been unbelievable, and he made some incredible saves that game. I thought Danny Rose in attack had a good game again, maybe left a little bit in defence, but I thought he had a good game. But you're right, it was an unbelievably good result. And the biggest thing for me was they came out and it was changed at half-time. I'm not the biggest fan of Sherwood, but he definitely changed something at half-time. You could see there was something different. I don't think they had a shot on target in the second half, so something changed. And we won because of it. So I don't think it was luck. It was definitely a penalty in the second half. But apart from that, it was a fantastic result. And I can't remember coming out the ground so happy for such a long time,
Yeah, I was happy. So, the last game that we saw, obviously, the couple of dreadful games, and the Palace game we couldn't enjoy because we played so poorly in that one. So, finally we got a decent result. As I say, Tom Cousins came with me because he contributed to my Marathon Virgin Money Giving page. And then I had Simon Napper the week before. Both great, great guys. Really good. And then I'm taking a guy called Michael, I think Mountford, to a game in a few weeks. And Jason McGovern's kindly contributed £50, so he's going to come to the Cardiff game. So he's going to
Andrew as well. Andrew did as well, didn't he? Andrew Stato.
That's right. Yeah, a few weeks ago. That was fantastic. Good guy. And but he kept on pointing out all the refereeing decisions, which was it was brilliant. But Jason McGovern's going to be sitting next to me, so that'll be interesting because obviously he can't stand Adi Bayor, although he's saluting me at the moment. Hopefully he'll be back on form for that 4:30 kickoff on a Sunday. God, dear, drag it out. How long have you got to wait now to watch your beloved Tottenham? Okay, mate, so, you know, we'll move on. We'll come back to Tim Sherwood in a minute, actually, because I've got a good question for you. And, you better have a good answer. But we'll come back to that in a minute. So we've got Newcastle. We played them last night. Brilliant result. I'm not sure that we were four goals better because, you know, they had a few chances as well, although, that you know, that they were a poor side. Something like a 3-1 might have been a fairer result. But hey, who cares about fair results these days? Certainly not when teams beat us. Good stuff, eh?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you're right, it wasn't 4-0. I mean, and that's proven by the fact we were 2-0 on 87 minutes. You know, we just got two good goals. One was slightly lucky and one was absolutely amazing. But it's nice to go and just totally dominate a team. We haven't done that in a long time, and we haven't done it at Newcastle away for a while, I don't believe. So it was nice just to go and be a top four, a top five team, and be less than a top four. Do you know what I mean? Like, just to go and say, right, we're strong, we're Tottenham, we're here, and then just show what we're made of, you know? It was a brilliant performance.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to go and up to Newcastle, obviously people are saying, you know, they're not playing well at the moment and this is the perfect game for them to get back on track. And how many times has that happened? You know, whether it's a player who hasn't scored for months or a team that's playing badly, they have Tottenham Hotspur, they rub their hands together and go, brilliant. You know, we beat Tottenham and we're back, you know, we're back in the news, we're back, you know, people talking about us again, and it was a perfect opportunity for them. But, you know, last week's show I said I'm not going to talk about injuries anymore, and I'm not going to talk about injuries to Tottenham, but I will talk about injuries to the other side because I'm fair like that. And they at Newcastle were completely decimated by injuries. And so not that I felt sorry for them, because I don't feel sorry for anybody. But, you know, they were there for the taking. And luckily, this Tottenham side did take their opportunity. I don't know what it would have been like if we'd have played against, you know, their best 11. You know, not much like if Liverpool would have played against us with our best 11, you know, a month ago when they beat us. And we didn't have Sandro off after 20 minutes injured, and Paulinho sent off, and our other nine players who were injured. Just to remind everybody of that. They were decimated with injuries, and we took advantage.
The thing with injuries is that's part of the game now. We're a squad. It's a squad game now. And the reason City and Chelsea are going to be first and second is because they've got a bigger and better squad. Arsenal aren't going to win it because they haven't got as good a squad as those two. We haven't got as good a squad as those two. And that's why we're not going to win. And I think you've said it before. As soon as Liverpool start getting some injuries, they'll start to drop down as well. It's a squad game. Yeah, they've got injuries. But, you know, if we get an injury in a key position, we've got players to back up. Striker, well, we're bringing Soldado. Midfield, we've got a bucket load of midfielders to bring in. But, you know, the only place I'll be worried about is goalkeeper. We've still got Brad Friedel, who's got about 100 years experience. So I agree and disagree, to be honest. It's their problem. They've got enough money. They made loads of money out of Dubai. They've got space to buy. They haven't bought. We took advantage.
And look at those two players who have just come back into our central defence. Kabul and Vertonghen. How good was Kabul last night?
So my question to you, Paul, is we all know how Kabul is. My question to you is, we know Kabul is injury prone, right?
Yeah.
And everyone says, right, you need a rock solid central defence who are going to play together game in, game out. So do you risk saying, right, Kabul and Vertonghen, you are our central partnership, and then risk Kabul getting injured? Or do you say, Churches, Vertonghen, we know you might not be our absolute 100% best, but we know you're probably going to be there longer, and so your partnership will be better for us in the long term. What would you do there?
Well, you always play Kabul and Vertonghen, and then when Kabul gets injured, you put Kirik Cheshire or Dawson in. It's that simple. I know what you're saying. You want to build a partnership, but I don't think you've got time these days. I think you just got to go with your best side. Kabul, honestly, I watched it live all the way through, and he was absolutely. Did you watch it all the game?
No, I couldn't get it on the stream.
Well, I'll tell you now that he was absolutely immense. I was loving watching him back in that side. And, you know, when Adi Bayor scored his second, he went up to him and just shook him and made Adi Bayor laugh.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know, that's what you need. You need your big old striker up there who thinks he's the bee's knees and doing all the salute and that. And then you've got soppy old Cabal coming along and shaking him, going, yeah, you know, like mucking him about sort of thing. And that camaraderie. But the fact that Cabal, you know, no one's going to mess with Cabal. You know, if that's somebody else, they'd go, what are you doing? Get off. I'm trying to celebrate. But it was like, Cabal was like, oh, come here, you know, give us a hug. And it was great. You know, Cabal just looked massive. There was a time when it was about 20 minutes ago when he was sitting on the floor with two medical staff around him. I thought, oh, God, what's going to happen here? Because, you know, he's so good for us, Cabal. And he was even getting down the right fullback position, down on the right wing. I mean, he was everywhere. Brilliant to see him back. And what you know, and we're talking about this backup. We're talking about Kirakesh, who's been great since he's been with us, to come in. He's injured at the moment. And then you've got Michael Dawson. I mean, what a brilliant backup central defender. Yeah. You know, we talk about other sides and who they've got as their backup. You know, and you're talking about, with Arsenal, for example, you've got Vermaelen, who's out of form. People are saying, oh, he's a Belgian centre-back, but he's been out of form. And I don't know that. That's Arsenal Podcast who tell me this information. Yeah. And the other one is Sanya. Well, he's a right-back, isn't he? And they're saying that Jenkinson isn't good enough. So I tell you, I keep saying it every week. As soon as Mertesacker and Koscielny get injured, you know, they're in trouble. And they've got all these games coming up. They surely can't be fit for all these games. Why they didn't go back out and buy another one? And the funniest one with the injury side is Giroud. I mean, you saw last night against Man United what actually the average, pretty average player he is, especially when he's been playing every game and he looks tired. And they didn't go out and buy a striker. I mean, it's just hilarious. So, like you say, it's a squad game. We've had seven, eight, nine injuries, but we've kept in there. Now we're getting everybody back, and now it's like the final sprint. And you know, we've got a fresh pair of trainers.
Yeah. I mean, Arsenal, the game last night between Arsenal, that's the one I had to watch in the end, and I had to keep up with the other one on Twitter and on BBC Newsfeed and all that. They didn't fall. And you look at Mata, massive talent, number 10, £37 million. Same with Ozil. None of them did anything. None of them took the game by the scruff of the neck, and it was a really dour game. But Cabal, I mean, he's strong, he's quick, he feels like a captain. Do you know what I mean? He feels like he's a leader of men. And then you can see Vertonghen's listed, because you worry about people like Vertonghen and Lewis, who are potentially world-class, if not world-class, in Hugo's position. If they're looking to the left and they're seeing Dawson, who's essentially a tractor driver, you worry about it. But then if he looks aside and sees Cabal just owning and dominating, he thinks, right, this is brilliant. I'm in a partnership, and they know what they're doing, and I can play in my game, and I'll be as good as I can be. I don't have to make up for anyone else's silly mistakes. And tell you what else is brilliant, and I'm stealing this from someone who's always on my show, if they both are comfortable with the ball, they don't have to do a Dawson long-range ball, which when they come off is brilliant, but they can pull the ball out, and they can pass it short, they can pass it middle, they can pass it long, they can pass it left and right, and they're comfortable doing that. So it gives us a bit of a pressure relief, where we don't have to kick it long, we can just play with the ball, and it's a fantastic resource. It was brilliant to see him back. One question I was going to ask you, did they say about how Danny Rose got his concussion? I've no idea how he did that.
No, I mean, I don't know. I didn't know he had a concussion. I gathered that he's injured, but I didn't know what the situation was. You know, surprised when the team came out and he wasn't in it. But I thought Carl Norton did a decent job. You know, the poor lad, you know, all he wants to do is play right back for his career, and he can't play there, not because Walker's too good. I mean, Walker's, you know, he divides opinion, but, you know, I think he can be brilliant, he can be terrible. You know, and Carl Norton is desperate to play there, but he keeps being put on the left back, and, you know, it pretty much he's not very good there, but he was all right last night. You know, keep it simple, don't try anything too clever, don't give the ball away. You know, that would be my advice to him. You know, and Danny Rose did play well. Just one final thing about Dawson, of course, is that when he's playing alongside Vertonghen, he's such a better player, isn't he? You know, he goes from a 5 out of 10 to a 7.5 out of 10. You know, and even up to 8s and 9s when he's playing against, you know, maybe a big striker rather than a small nippy striker. So, you know, that's all looking good. You know, this is quite a positive podcast. Obviously, after last last two games, much more positive than we've been for ages. But let's get into Tim Sherwood then, mate, because you know, I've heard a few things here and there, and you know, it's like when you support somebody, it doesn't mean, you know, that's it. Tim Sherwood's our manager for the next 25 years. What I think is that we get behind him, and we want him to do well, because if he does well, then Tottenham do well. So there's no point saying, you know, you want somebody else in instead of Tim Sherwood, because that would imply that we want to lose our next six games, and I don't want that. And I'm not looking long term. Sorry, I'm 38. I've looked long term for the last 25 years. I've been waiting since 91 to win another FA Cup or to challenge at the top. I've looked long term, thanks very much, and now I'm ready to actually celebrate something. So I don't want, you know, to wait another 18 months while someone else, Tim, goes out and we bed someone else in, thanks very much. Let's get him going. And by the way, he's doing a great job, isn't he? I mean, crying out loud. You know, obviously you've got your thoughts on him. The big question is, and be careful with this one, is if we get fourth, do you want Tim out or do you want him to carry on?
The thing is, so when he came in, I disliked him. I still dislike him, but he's changing. You know, when he first started, he played his first three, four games to 4-4-2. I thought, right, you don't really know what you're doing. We're getting overrun here. He played Ben Sled in the middle as a partnership and four in the middle. No, you don't really know what's going on, but he's changing things. He's playing 4-2-3-1, or if he knows Newcastle a week, he's playing a 4-3-3. And then he's saying the right things before and after. There's just a few bits of his game, like his team selection, and his substitutions are ridiculous. It just feels like he doesn't really know what he's doing. You just look and you say, right, Ericsson's coming off the Townsend. Right, that doesn't make sense. What are you doing? But we're winning. So if we're winning fourth and we're finally winning sensibly, then yeah, keep him in. But if we're getting by just because we are better than the other team, and suddenly Adebayor's in the team and we're getting by purely because we're more talented, fine. But if we're going up to Liverpool and we're going up to Arsenal and we're losing fours and fives and sixes, then I don't want him. If we're losing ones and twos and we looked really, really strong, and because we've been set up correctly, fine. But if we're not, because of the way we're being managed, I'm not interested. I want a man with a plan. And it's nothing personal, but I don't care if he's got an Arsenal tattoo. I don't, as you say, if he's left Arsenal, he's Tottenham through and through. If he's getting us results, I go to the games, I'll support him, I scream for the team, I'm Tottenham. I don't want a season. Even if we get fourth, I'm going to, fine, on. If you ask me for a decision, even if we get fourth, I don't want him.
Okay, well, one point about Ericsson there. Why would Townsend come on for Ericsson? Because Ericsson was playing on the left, and Townsend came on left wing, so it wasn't ridiculous. Perfectly fine substitution. Ericsson was giving the ball away the whole time.
If you take off Bentaleb and put Ericsson where Bentaleb was, then you've got that space for Townsend, and suddenly you've got a better team, like a completely better team, and probably the team that should have started. So I get it, but I don't buy it.
I think that most Spurs fans will agree with you that Ericsson should be in the middle. So far, I've seen Ericsson do some great things, but I've seen Ericsson give the ball away a hell of a lot. A bit like Lewis Holtby. You know, people love Lewis Holtby, and I love Lewis Holtby, but he gave the ball away so much, you know, which is why I'm not surprised to see him being the one that, you know, makes way. But listen, you know, people have their favourites and people see different things. That's fine, you know, that's why we had the debates and, you know, who's right, who's wrong. You know, people have different opinions. That's absolutely fine. With regards to Tim Sherwood, though, you know, you talk actually quite a lot on your show about Spurs being a laughing stock. Can you imagine if we get fourth, right, and then midway through July, you know, you flick on Sky Sports and we're fourth and the draws come out and, you know, we've got whoever it is, Udinese or whatever it is in the qualifying round, and then a week later, Tim Sherwood's been sacked, you know, and Levy says he's looking for a new manager. I mean, would that not make us look absolutely ridiculous as a football club to do that?
It would look, yeah, to us and the media and to the players as well. If you're, again, I keep on banging the drum about our brilliant players, but you've got Hugo Lloris, who's captain of France, recent World Cup winners, could move to any team in the world. And they say, right, we've got no manager, what are we going to do? You know, I'm more than happy to leave and go get more money elsewhere with a team with a plan. So, yeah, I totally agree. But then you say, right, we're actually going to bring in Louis van Gaal, who, experienced manager, been managing champions, he knows what he's doing, and he can go into Hugo and say, "Right, I know exactly what I want to do."
Let me stop you there. Say that David Moyes finishes at 6th or 7th in the league, he's out, so Man United go and get Louis van Gaal. Right, so he's out of the equation. What do we do then? Oh, I know, Frank de Boer. Well, let's say Frank de Boer fancies staying in Amsterdam at Ajax because they've just won the league and the cup, and he fancies being in the Champions League with Ajax. So that's Louis van Gaal out the way. That's Frank de Boer out. Who's next?
Capello, Benitez, you know, whoever gets fired.
All right.
There's a whole host of people, you know. It's very difficult for me to say because they.
All right. Well, Benitez is at Napoli. He's just qualified for the Champions League with them, so he doesn't fancy coming back to England and getting a whole rollicking from the press again. Capello's perfectly happy, you know, earning his money from Russian national side or whatever. He's just had an offer from Inter Milan and finished sixth in the league, so he's going to go back to Italy there. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is the point I'm trying to make here is that we're saying all these managers, and I just think. We've already asked Louis van Gaal. He said no. We already asked Frank de Boer. He said no. And I know they're sounding off and saying, maybe I'd like to go there. At the end of the day, we are Tottenham Hotspur. We're not. We haven't played in the Champions League for the last 20 years. And there will be other sides that lose their managers. And they will be going, right, so who's available? Well, you know, if Juventus don't win the league this year, you know, if Real Madrid and Barcelona, whoever don't win the league this year, their manager will get sacked and they will want a new manager. And who are they going to go for? I know, they'll go for Frank de Boer, they'll go for Louis van Gaal, they'll go for Capello, they'll go for all these managers. And we're Tottenham Hotspur and we're going, right, who should we have? Because we don't want this Tim Sherwood who's got us fourth. And then some manager's going to turn around and go, well, wait there, they've just sacked their manager who got them fourth. Shall I go there, with that fickle chairman and all that? I mean, sometimes we have to have a little reality check, don't we? You know, we've got Tim Sherwood. He's doing really well for us. And this is all pie in the sky because we don't know if we're going to get fourth or not. And it's at the moment, it's looking unlikely. But I just don't get this whole, we're doing really well, but no, we don't want Tim Sherwood. We want better. We want the best and all this. And it's like, well, we've got to have a reality check, surely.
You're not wrong, and there's pointless changing and chopping if we get fourth. Let's go when we get fourth. If and when we get fourth, we've got to get above either Arsenal, City, Chelsea, or Liverpool first.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying as well. So to get fourth, right, we've got to finish above Liverpool. And do you think they're going to sack Brendan Rodgers in the summer? So they'll still have to stick with Brendan Rodgers. Right, Everton will stick with Martinez. Man United, let's say, for example, they stick with Moyes, and we'll get rid of our manager, even though we finish fourth. It's just bizarre. I just think it's bizarre. I don't think people are thinking this through. I think they're, you know, someone's gone up to Frank de Boer and Louis van Gaal in the last week. Some report and said, "Hey, what do you think about Tottenham?" And they go, "Yeah, they're all right. I wouldn't mind. You know, one day maybe." Oh, right. Back page news. Louis van Gaal said, "Yeah, definitely. I want to manage Tottenham." Frank de Boer says it. You know, it's like, wait there. They haven't said they definitely want to come, you know, and there'd be other manager positions. And the other thing is, Tim Sherwood said, he doesn't appreciate Frank de Boer saying he wants the Tottenham job. Too right. You know, what if someone come up to you and said, "Oh, you've got a good job there, Andy. Oh, I fancy having your job, yeah. Couple of months, I think I'll have your job." What would you say to him?
Oh, man, I totally agree. The only response to that is, well, look at my results. And at the moment, the results are okay. The results are good. Let's see what he does in the Europa League. Let's see what he does in the league. And let's talk then. Because as you say, everyone's got different opinions. This is a results game, results business. Let's see how the results go.
Yeah, I mean, just in conclusion, I think if we get fourth and we sack Tim Sherwood, I think that is so, so, so harsh. And look, if we do it, and we do get Louis van Gaal or Frank de Boer or one of these other top managers, great, fantastic. But I tell you what, you know, just to bring us back down to reality a little bit, you know, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, you get rid of a manager and then you look around and go, right, we'll have him. Oh, he doesn't want to come to Spurs. Cheers. You know, what do we do next? So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. At the moment, Liverpool are playing so blimmin' well that I don't think we're going to do that. I think we're going to get fifth. But even then, you know, do you go, see you later, team, nice try. Well, I don't get it. Right, anyway, mate, go on.
If we get fifth, playing like we did yesterday, and we go to Arsenal, Arsenal come to us and we give them a good shout, and with Chelsea we go and we lose 1-0, or we draw 1-1, or whatever, then yeah, Tim Sherwood's your man. And what are you having to say? He's a young manager. He's a young man. Like, AVB made mistakes. Sherwood's making mistakes. But he's rectifying them quicker than I think AVB did. Everyone lauds AVB for saying, you know, we used to concede late in the game from crossing, so AVB changed the training. Well, Sherwood's changing his whole structure of his team to make sure it's working. So he's tinkering, he's tailoring. And as you say, yeah, he's learning and he'll get better.
Don't you think also that people are listening to his interviews and it's literally like Marmite? Like, for me, I listen to his interviews and I go, yeah, I agree with that, I agree with that, I agree with that. That was a massive cliche, but I agree with that, I agree with, yeah, massive cliche, but I agree with that, agree with that. Don't agree with that, but yeah, okay, I agree with that. You know, so out of the 10 statements, I might agree with 8 or 7, 2 are massive cliches and 1 I think, oh, no, I'm not sure about that. But that's just where he's sort of getting caught up in the moment. For you, do you listen to him and go, God, what a dimwit? Or do you think, no, that makes complete sense? What do you think?
No, when he's in front of an interview, I've got confidence. He speaks it like it is. Then you feel like he's telling the truth. You mean that we've had other managers where they just talk absolute rubbish, or they try and hide everything, they try and play politics. He's honest. You know, he's not Mourinho. He's just saying it how it is. He feels, you know, he came out after the Everton game, so basically I shouted at him at half time, and they did better.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear. And that gives me confidence in you. You're right, he's Marmite. And the problem is, because he came from within, because there's all this back history, he's Arsenal and he's under 21 coach, people go expecting to not like him or expecting to not listen to him. Just get over yourselves. He's our manager. Like, whatever he says, listen to him. Listen to the words that come out of his mouth and just judge him on what he's saying, not what you think he's saying. You know?
You're changing your tune. I'm definitely changing your mind here. You can put the fans
no,
can
I'd
the fans can the fans can hear it.
Mate, it's the way he sets up. If he sets us up so we can win games, that's fine. But if he's setting up with Bentaleb in the middle instead of Sandro, instead of Pippo,
oh, he won't do that. He won't do that. He won't. When Sandro's back, he'll play Sandro. And by the way, if he doesn't, if Sandro's sitting on the bench for 3 or 4 weeks, then I'll turn on him as well, because Sandro's our best player, without a shadow of a doubt. But Kapu, when he's come on, he's looked poo, hasn't he? He's looked overweight and not up for it, you know, so but he's easing him back in. I like him, I think he's all right, and I'd like to have a beer with him, much like I did with Harry, and definitely I'd like to with Andre, and I'm not so sure about Levy, because I think he'd be quite boring, but... You know, I love all these Spurs boys and what they get up to. Right, before I start waffling, anything more you want to say, mate, about latest Spurs news or anything? Red on the shirt, AIA, what do you think about that?
Everyone's going to go on about it's red on the shirt, yeah, whatever. You know, they're giving us loads of money, we're in a money game now. If money means we bought 5 more lamellas, I'll be happy, you know. If
5 more lamellas? No thanks.
Mate, you bit on that one. Whatever, business is business, it's reds. We've had reds for years on part of the logo, whether it's the dot on the economy or whatever.
God, dear. You've sold your soul to the devil. Never red, never red.
Yeah, I know.
See, I make so much sense, and then I say things like never red. That just takes away all my credibility when I say things like that. Such a shame. One more thing I want to say. Cole last week said about Suarez and Bale about... hello? When we sold Bale, it means we're a selling club and Liverpool haven't sold Suarez. You know, I had a good think about that. And, you know, here's a really good point. Suarez was... Liverpool were offered 40 million for Suarez. Okay, we were offered 80 million for Spurs.
Yeah.
Now, let's switch that the other way around. Let's say Real Madrid would have offered 80 million for Suarez... And Arsenal would have offered us 40 million and a pound. Who's moving clubs? Who's the selling club then?
I don't take that argument. If you're offered £86 million for possibly the best player in the world, you take it. Otherwise, you're just going to run his contract out. I know he had 4.5 years or whatever he had left. You take the money. I mean, Suarez is worth £40 million. Maybe he's worth £50 million. Bale arguably isn't worth £80 million. His potential is to bite their hand off. He's not. He doesn't want to stay. Let him go.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and Bale said nothing, by the way, all summer. And Suarez was saying, all summer, I want to leave, I want to leave, I want to leave. Then finally, when they said, well, look, you may want to leave. We've been offered 40 million from Arsenal. You're not going there because that's not enough money. We haven't had any other offers, mate, because Real Madrid, who you wanted to go to, have just bought Bale. So basically, you either stay with us or, you know, what are you going to do? And so he had to swallow his pride. And, you know, because he's such a good football player, you know, he's playing great and that. But get to the end of the season, if they don't get top four, see you later. He is off. Anyway, mate. Look,
mate,
yeah, go on.
The short fact is, he's playing the Champions League next week. He's not going to Dynamo Fisherman or wherever we're playing. You know, that's what's happening, and that's where he deserves to be. He deserves to be on the world stage, and well, maybe we get there, maybe we won't. He will definitely be there with Real Madrid. Good luck to him.
Who? Bale.
Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. All right. Hey, go on.
Oh, just a quick one. How's your marathon training going? What are you doing?
Yeah, just I'm up to 14 miles. That's my longest run. So I do week night on, night off, 5 or 6 miles, and then big run at the weekend. You can sponsor me at Virgin Money Giving, Robbo the Teacher or Steve Robinson. If you donate £20, I'll take you to a Spurs game. So, yeah, it's going all right. Going all right. I'm eating what I want, which is beautiful. And, you know, it's all good. How about you? Do that mud chucker thing or whatever it's called?
Well, yeah, I've got a few events on this year. I'm doing what you're doing. I'm doing the London Marathon. I'm doing a few other things as well. Listen to my podcast for if you want to donate money to me.
Tottenham Football Fancast.
The brilliant Tottenham Hotspur Football Fancast.
It is brilliant. I must say, I listen to it every week. I listen to... there's a load of them out there. Just go onto iTunes and download them. Some are better than others. They're all Spurs.
Yeah.
Some better. Just because some are so long, you have to listen through. And I do anyway. I just have to listen to the whole thing because otherwise I think I'll miss out on a little point. And I try and fast forward it, and then I have to go back because I think, oh, you know, maybe I've missed a point. But very, very good. The Arsenal ones this week are just brilliant. Because they're back to moaning and groaning and saying, you know, last week it was, yeah, I think we'll be all right with Giroud, just Giroud up front. He's great, and Ozil, you know, he'll turn it on, and he's brilliant. And this week it's all back to, we need a striker. Why didn't we buy a striker? And, you know, it's that fickleness. Yeah. And, you know, the transfer window is so unfair. You know, I just think if they change the rules to what Arsenal fans want, they should just call it like the Arsenal transfer window, you know, because it's what they want. You know, they're not happy with that period of time. You know, they're not happy with the League Cup this year, so they're playing the youngsters. But they're happy this year though, because they're playing their full strength side. So just call it the Arsenal League Cup, and then whenever they try, that's when it really means something. So you know, so we all know where we stand. All right, mate. Yeah, let's go for the Arsenal fourth place trophy, because obviously that's what it's really called. And you know, we've got what we've got coming up. We've got nothing this weekend. Then we've got is it Europe?
Yeah, the Necro at home.
6 o'clock next Thursday, and then Spurs Day, as it's hilarious being called by Arsenal fans. And then on Sunday, we've got Norwich, isn't it? Norwich on telly.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually going to, it's my birthday next week, so I'm going, the missus is taking me away to Amsterdam, and I've managed to get to my extra kit, so I'm going to go do some scouting, I think.
Lovely. And you're much younger than me, by the way. That's why you do many more of these events. You're not touching 30 yet, are you?
Pardon?
You're not even 30 yet, are you?
No, I'm 26.
There you are, you see. You don't know half the hurt. That's why you're planning for the future. Whereas I'm like, I've had enough. I'm like, for goodness sake. Bring on the sheep. All right, mate.
Mate, thanks very much. I love being on here. So, I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers. All the best. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.